Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, October 2nd, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
Lisa, today I was talking to somebody after listening to this stuff on the radio all day long about Mark Foley, and I said, if I woke up tomorrow and heard the news, and they said that an atomic bomb was dropped on Washington, D.C., I can't say I'd be real disappointed. Hello, I'm Victor Thorne. You're tuned in to Wing TV. And you know, it's been madness with what's going on in D.C. It seems like there has to be a better way to run this country than to have all of those cretins down there in our nation's capital.
And why take the slow track? Why not get on the fast track? Not expose one pervert at a time? Why not just oust all of them?
Yeah. And of course, there's a few people in D.C. that I would hate to see go. You know, everyone from the American Free Press and so forth, all the innocent people that live there. But we have those federal buildings down there that are crawling with so many snakes and rats and vermin.
The federal halls of filth.
Exactly. And I want to ask everybody out there, if you have a 15 or 16-year-old son or daughter, and they were offered a chance to go to D.C. to work as a page.
Or an intern.
Would you send them? It'd be like sending them to Michael Jackson's day camp.
Well, maybe if they had a cage to protect them from all the sharks.
Yeah. So, I'm sure everybody by now has heard of Mark Foley. What's happened to him over the weekend? He resigned. He was sending emails and instant messages to, I guess, was a 16-year-old page.
And others. More than one. And apparently he's been doing this, at least the GOP appears to have known about his initial secret since 2005, and they covered it up to protect a congressional seat.
Right. Now, it's real hard to find out precisely what he said in these emails, but Lisa did some research this morning, and I know you didn't come up with a whole lot, but what's the general tone of what he was saying to these teenage boys?
Well, the mainstream media whores are spinning this, of course, and they're saying there's one set of emails that was suggestive, which I guess the Foley camp has been characterizing as overly friendly. And then the second set of emails and instant messages, which he was exchanging with these pages, all of whom are under 18, were sexually explicit, and there's explicit, graphic, internet sexual exchanges between Foley and the minors. The age of consent, by the way, in Washington, D.C., is 16 years old.
Well, Lisa, was he asking any of them to go to the movies with him and play the popcorn trick? Do you know if that was
in
any of them?
No, he didn't ask them who they were going to vote for in the upcoming election. He was asking them if...
Hold on. Give us, what was he saying to these boys?
Well, we've only been able to gather very little of what these exchanges comprised, but one question that's been reported is, do I make you horny? He asked one of the pages, and the boy replied, a little bit, which is more than he makes the rest of us. And then
Lisa,
he asked,
do you think he's ever had lap flounder in a restaurant?
Shut up, Victor. Anyway,
or doesn't he like seafood?
Let's get beyond that. I'm not even going to answer that one. Okay, then I guess he asked if the boy was in his boxer shorts, too, implying that Foley himself was in his boxer shorts.
So this is pretty evident that he's a real class act.
Yeah, and the boy, and I guess he told the boy, strip down and get relaxed. Mm-hmm. And then there were other exchanges that are said to be graphic sexual exchanges over the internet with the minors. So Foley, what's happening to Foley, Foley did to himself.
Yeah.
And I have no sympathy. They're not going to leave any child behind. Remember, they've promised us not one child left behind. Not one child left uncorrupted.
If there's even one parent out there that would send their child into that pit of hell to work as an intern or a page, they have to have their head examined. Because look at, and Lisa, we're not excusing the Democrats here by any means. Because
they're all filthy.
They have their McGreevies and their Barney Franks and their rapists, Bill Clinton. But look at the GOP, what's happened to them within just the last few months or years. They have Lewis Scooter Libby and the Valerie Plame incident. We have Tom DeLay, who's been ousted. We have Jack Abramoff, whose scandal just continues to keep growing.
Henry Hyde.
Right? We have Iraq and the WMDs and all the lies about 9/11. Then, if we go a little bit further back, we have the Franklin cover-up.
Uh-huh.
We have the big headline in the early 90s from the Washington Times about the GOP scandal that revolved around the AIDS and the pages there.
Right.
We have George Bush and Victor Ash.
Yeah.
All the rumors about them. Then we have the bulldog himself, Jeff Gannon, with his nearly 200 visits.
The fake journalist.
Yeah, to the White House.
Right.
Now, what's this guy doing almost 200 times visiting the White House? Then we have, over the summer, George Bush and Tony Blair. When they're at the GA conference, somebody left their microphone on. And as guys are walking by, they're calling them sweetie and honey and cute.
There were even reports that Bush was making sexual flirtatious kind of moves in Canada.
Yeah,
with a member
right.
of Paul Martin's staff, too.
That's right.
It should be noted that these page scandals date far back into the 80s.
Yeah, this certainly isn't the first
right.
of its kind. And, you know, we have these good Christian conservatives, these
yeah.
Republicans, that are trying to hold up societal standards and in the good book and all this stuff. These guys are as degenerate, sleazy, creepy,
right.
and basically scumballs.
Yeah, the good book is like Hustler magazine to them. You're never going to find the word politician and ethical in the same sentence, and if you do, well, that's just spin. It's a lie.
Now, Lisa, what's happened to Mark Foley now?
Well,
since the weekend?
He came out and, I guess, apologized to his constituents and went into pretty much hiding. He's entered into an alcohol rehab, and he is blaming his problems on his disease.
Now
so, and as somebody put it, and I have to interrupt you because somebody put it, one drink, I'm okay. Five drinks, and I'm a gay pedophile. We can all relate to that, right?
Well, you know what that reminds me of is Deborah LaFave. She was
yeah.
the 23-year-old
yeah.
school teacher in Florida. A lot of these people seem to come from Florida for some reason. But she was a 23-year-old school teacher that had sex with a 14-year-old student, and she blamed it on her manic depression.
Right.
So how many are there? Millions and millions of manic depressives in the world. But it's just Deb LaFave that all of a sudden resorts to child molestation.
Right. And, you know, he's being made an example of. Every once in a while you see the sacrificial lamb that gets held up on the flagpole, and it's not that they all don't have skeletons in their closets. God only knows the ones we're not hearing about. But this guy it's not just that he was doing this with the minors, because they all knew that he was gay.
Uh-huh.
It's the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C. He hid very little about his sexuality, and his constituents didn't seem to have a problem with him being gay. And the issue isn't that he was gay. The issue is that he was engaging in these pedophile-type behaviors with minors. But when they exposed the Batcave is when they're held up on the flagpole.
Yeah. I wonder how many of these pages he went up to and said, hey, little boy, I have a shiny new quarter in my pocket.
Actually, there have been pages that, former pages that came out said they thought he was overly friendly with the pages. He would linger and try to talk to them, ask for their photos, things like that. Just stuff
real
he really
classic.
Didn't need to be doing.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody updated on where this story goes.
The whole thing with these congressmen, they write laws and legislation that they themselves don't have to live up to, yet we do. The rest of us do. And the irony here is that this congressman did a great amount of work in improving the sex offender registry.
Right.
The legislation that he helped enact is probably what he's going to appear on now, on the database for sex offenders, if he does get prosecuted. He could get prosecuted under the same legislation he helped to enact.
How ironic.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, there is, of course, the other big story is Bob Woodward's book, but before we get to that, I want to thank everybody for their responses already to our latest Wing TV poll.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, what do you think is the most dangerous and destructive organized religion? And we didn't even talk about it on Friday, but already we've got quite a number of responses to it. And this one here, I said, is very explosive, very fiery, and it is already from some of the responses, because we also have, we list 10 religions, and a number 11 says other.
Yeah.
And already we're getting quite a number of interesting responses. And also I got an email from someone over the weekend that said, of all the polls, all the Wing TV polls he's voted in, not once did his answer come in number one. And, you know, I said, that's good, because it shows that the Wing TV viewers aren't sheep. They don't go with the herd.
Yeah.
They're independent-minded, and they come up with their own responses. So he was saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but that's good, because everyone just doesn't follow one path. like so many other alternative right. radio shows do, or the mainstream media.
Let me just get back to Foley for one second. The politicians are all scrambling now, the media. Ask yourself what these politicians on both sides of the aisle are really concerned with now. Are they really concerned about the children and protecting these minors? Or are they concerned about how this exposure of Foley's little problem is going to benefit or cost them politically?
Well, exactly. And if I was any of these people in the halls of Congress, I'd be scurrying because, well, like Lisa says, they shine a light on one of these rats every once in a while when they go running. But I'd bet 90% of them, if you opened up their closets, there'd be so many skeletons.
Well, that's a low figure. Also, I guess the Republicans are likely to put Joe Negron, State Representative Joe Negron, in Foley's place for this upcoming congressional race now to replace him.
All right. So. And we'll keep you updated on the Wing TV homepage on developments in this story. The other big revelation over the weekend, we touched upon it briefly last week, was Bob Woodward's new book,
right.
State of Denial. Now, we're no fans of Bob Woodward by any means.
And it's not really a big revelation to
right.
those of us who run in the political conspiracy circles.
Exactly. But what he's doing is he's looking at the Iraq war and saying essentially that the Bush administration is deceiving the American public on a grand scale. And before we get to, I think, the most interesting aspect of this, which is Henry Kissinger's very frequent visits mm-hmm. to the White House, let's go over a couple other things. First of all, and Lisa, jump in here, because we watched him on 60 Minutes last night with
right.
with Mike Wallace, I guess, interviewed him.
Uh-huh.
First of all, everybody wants Donald Rumsfeld out.
Yeah.
Everybody, including not only Andrew Card, who was the press secretary, but also even Laura Bush.
And Condi writes, in fact, this book doesn't deal just with how the Bushies have botched the war in Iraq and the war on terror, but also the behind-the-scenes duelings and
mm-hmm.
feuds going on between Bush, Cheney, Rice, Condoleezza Rice, and Rumsfeld. And everybody
right.
but Bush and Cheney appear to have, according to Woodward, want Rumsfeld out. Rice is whining to President Bush because Rumsfeld won't return her phone calls. He's
yeah.
basically ignoring her now. And I guess what we were watching on TV last night was Rumsfeld has lost all credibility in the public eye.
Well, according to Woodward, he's become emasculated.
Right.
So much so that Condi actually has to announce now U.S. strategy
right.
in Iraq.
Now, she's the one, the front person to announce the strategy policy, and Rumsfeld is ignoring her, according to Woodward.
Mm-hmm. Also now, George Bush has become the cheerleader. And, you know, you can look at this as kind of like a double entendre because, of course, when George Bush comes out and talks about Iraq, he's a cheerleader. Rah, 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 everything's good. We're going to turn the corner. But, Lisa, when he was in college, what was George Bush? He was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
He was a cheerleader. He wasn't on the football team or any. He was the cheerleader.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at the rumors about him with Tony Blair and Victor Ash and somebody up in Canada, George Bush was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
We have a cheerleader for a president.
Try to separate a cheerleader from her pom-poms.
Yeah. I mean, even Hillary Clinton
yeah.
was a cheerleader.
This is a Newsweek review of Woodward's book, and it's very concise, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, the Rumsfeld portrayed by Woodward is bullying and petty. Bush is portrayed as folksy and jocular, but incurious to the point of cluelessness.
Hmm.
His war cabinet, deeply dysfunctional. Rice, almost a pathetic figure, whining to the president that she can't get Rumsfeld to return her phone call.
You know, when I hear that, what it's doing again is actually, it's reinforcing the notion, the misguided notion, that Bush and all these guys are actually in charge
yeah.
of what's going on there. Because then there's always the convenient lie-hop excuse, that they're just incompetent, they're just negligent, they won't face reality. So it's given the impression that we have these bumbling fools in the White House that can't manage the war, when in reality, let's bring them in right now. Henry Kissinger's back. Henry Kissinger's
yeah.
back on the scene. He's being described by Woodward as a member of the family who makes frequent visits to the White House on average of about once a month, and whenever he's in town, he meets with either Bush or Cheney. And now, ask yourself, who do you think they're really letting run the war? George Bush or Do you think Henry Kissinger is coming in and saying, here's where we're going next with it?
Remember, Henry Kissinger is a member of the inside circle. And as it was described on that show last night, this is Kissinger's Vietnam all over again. He's a very frequent visitor to the White House. He's a member of the inner circle.
Exactly. And what it does, and not only with the war, but also there's so much talk still about Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of watching a TV show where they sit around, these are grown adults, talking about Santa Claus and what you're going to get for Christmas. And you tune in the next day then, and it's the same show, and they're still talking about Santa Claus.
Yeah, in fact, and they were saying that there's an Al-Qaeda video that's released every 6 days.
Yeah.
Every 6 days.
I mean, this is Santa Claus. This is what you're doing. This is an illusion that's so vast and so widespread that it's unbelievable how many people are still sucked into it. And here's the other thing, Lisa. When after this 60 Minutes show was over last night, what we have is another Hegelian dialectic. On the one hand, you say that most everybody in the cabinet realizes that the war in Iraq is a disaster,
right,
and they went out. But then on the other hand, you have Henry Kissinger representing the global elite that says the only victory or the only exit strategy is victory.
Well, so, what is victory? What is victory to the neocons?
So we have a Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, and what's going to be the final synthesis? Well, the way I see it is the GOP is so discredited that you're going to lose quite significantly in the midterm elections. Then the Democrats are going to roll in for 2008. Now, are the Democrats going to stop the war and pull out? Absolutely not. So the synthesis is going to be they're going to still stay in there.
Right.
It's just they're going to change things around a little bit.
Right.
And it's reminiscent of Vietnam. When you had Vietnam started near the end of Eisenhower's term, then the Democrats were the ones that took it and escalated the hell out of it via LBJ. Then it went back to Nixon and Kissinger for five more years, and they got us out of Vietnam. But it was Republican, Democrat, Republican.
Uh-huh. It's not a revelation that the Bushistas have botched this war and this con job that they're calling the war on terror. We all know that. It's very obvious now. Anybody who doesn't see it is drinking too much of the Kool-Aid. Supposedly, Bush Sr. is very upset about the Iraq war. Woodward points to Bush as the big cheerleader, as Victor said. And Bush would not see Woodward to be interviewed for this book. Woodward interviewed supposedly over 200 people, and Bush wouldn't see him.
Right.
Bush is very against any pessimistic comments. He will not welcome any pessimistic comments about his policy, both foreign or domestic.
Yeah, and I think this is, again, part of the illusion, once more, that he's in control, he's calling the shots.
Everything's just fine.
Right, but John Negroponte is quoted as saying that the violence in Iraq is so widespread that we can't even conceive of it.
It's at an all-time high, and it's escalating, and it's expected to continue to escalate. In fact, they said 2007 is going to be even worse than 2006.
Right, and they referred to a secret graph where the violence is going like this. And a perfect example is that on May 24th of this year, there was an intelligence report that says that not only is violence going to be sustained throughout 2006, it's going to increase in 2007.
Right.
Yet 2 days after this report was given, George Bush came out and says that violence is going to decrease in 2007. So what happened was you have this public report, which is nothing but a lie, but then the private report is stamped secret, and nobody's allowed to see it. So right now, Woodward says that there is on average 900 attacks per month on U.S. servicemen. That comes out to an average of one every 15 minutes, 7 days a week, every single day of the month. It's unbelievable. This was the second, September was the second bloodiest month of the war since we've been in it.
This is what you have when you have the cheerleader coming out and telling you that we're making progress in Iraq, and you have all of his emasculated Joint Chiefs of Staff coming out and waving their pom-poms too, and it's really not a surprise when you see retired generals coming out and expressing their concerns. You know, I'd have more respect for them if they would step up while they're still in their military office rather than wait till they retire.
And everybody out there, as we close this show today, ponder this. We're now I say we. The United States has now spent over $450 billion.
$2 billion a week.
In Iraq. The thought of that much money being blown in this disaster over there almost literally makes me sick. We're moving in on now $500 billion.
And climbing.
And where the hell are we? What have we accomplished? Literally every person in Baghdad admits freely now that they want to see the U.S. servicemen dead. That's where we're at. $450 billion-plus dollars that Bush has said that he doesn't give a damn if every single person in the world
right.
is against this war except Laura Bush, his wife, and Barney the dog. He says he's not
right.
pulling out.
Barney the dog.
Yeah.
There is no exit strategy. Do you get it? They have no definition of victory. They don't have an exit strategy. Neither do the Democrats. They're all working toward the same objective. Don't fall for the political theater. And so far, we're still not getting any answers for 9/11, which was what all of this war,
right.
this whole con job was predicated upon. 9/11.
And they're still pushing Osama bin Laden and the whole Santa Claus
fairy tale. No accountability. Nobody punished. Nothing. Not ever.
Yeah.
No accountability whatsoever for anything ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a disaster.
Yeah.
A disaster. And as I said to open this show up, if I turned on the TV tomorrow morning and it said, Washington, D.C. is obliterated because of a nuke, I can't say I'd be real disappointed.
We'd get out our pom-poms.
Exactly. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Enjoy the photo gallery. The song is called Rules Don't Apply. We dedicate it to President George W. Bush.
President George Bush has said there is no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in the 11th September attacks. The comments from our supposed leaders so far have come after despite the White House's attempts to link Iraq and Al-Qaeda. The 9/11 Commission has stated it has found no collaborative report. Harvard University study estimates the cost of the Iraq war between $1 and $2 trillion.
How did it start? Who taught your tender heart such a primitive view that you're entitled whatever you do and rules don't apply to you? You don't need laws, you don't need science, you don't need reason or truth. Stubborn and reckless, you do as you choose. Rules don't apply to you. Katrina, Iraq, the debt on our backs. See all the damage you've done. Secrets and lies cannot disguise all of your failures, our country. It's fleeting from. How can it end while you pretend your failed illusions are true? You smear your critics and fake up the news. Rules don't apply to you. Katrina, Iraq, the death on our backs. See all the damage you've done. Secrets and lies cannot disguise all of your failures, our country is fleeting from. Full speed ahead, don't mind the poor of the dead. Hey, they ain't nothing to you. Just serve yourself and the privileged few. Rules don't apply to you. Full speed ahead. Don't mind the poor maimed or dead. Your party of fruits.
not exactly what Jesus would do, but rules don't apply to you. Laws don't apply to you. Science don't apply to you. Facts don't apply to you. Reason don't apply to you. Ethics don't apply to you. Constitution don't apply to you.
What you say?
That Constitution don't apply to you. The rules have never applied to you.
In response to a new Iraq weapons report, President Bush today admitted in the clearest terms yet that Saddam Hussein has no weapons of mass destruction. President Bush Tuesday blamed Republican bureaucracy for his administration's